Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we have Alex Reslock from Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Of course, we're talking Devil's Lake ice fishing, perch, walleyes, you name it. He's also a tournament angler, and there's a few other fun topics that we kind of sprinkle into all this, but a lot of great fishing conversation with a brand new guest. It's fun to get to know him in this episode. We've got Alex Reslock on the JMO Podcast. As we prepare for the upcoming ice fishing season, making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to summitfishingequipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations, and to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. If you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, I highly recommend you check out the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast that's put on by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, a phenomenal source of all kinds of topics happening at the Game and Fish Department throughout the seasons. Again, if you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast is for you. You'll find it anywhere you'll find the JMO Podcast, and if you want a shortcut, you can find a link in the description. But yeah, man, where does your fishing story begin for us, man? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Devil's Lake, just about in Mulford's Bay, just about a mile from Woodland Resort. So I basically grew up fishing off the dock and walking up. I mean, kind of as the lake grew up, I was kind of growing up with it. So I got to basically watch it kind of come up every year, and I would be out walking the shoreline wherever I was. It was pretty cool. I mean, I remember just going out, seeing the white bass boiling, and going out catching those, catching perch, walleyes, all that. But yeah, so started doing that. I started working at Woodland Resort when I was 14, working in the bait shop, and did that in the summers. And so that was cool growing up around all the guides. So that kind of is how I got into, decided I wanted a guide. I just kind of remember when they were coming into the bait shop and seeing them fishing, it's just like, God, I kind of want to go fishing every day. Like, that seems awesome. You'll take the guys back and they'd be, all the clients would all be happy. And just kind of drove the passion to want to keep fishing. So yeah, I mean, Zippy stories. I mean, there's always jokes at the end of the day with Zippy and Spider, and somebody would be broke down somewhere, or they'd be having a gong show with, like, let's say Pete Harsh running out of gas or something like that. It was always pretty cool hearing those.
Tell me a little bit about, like, your fishing experience particularly. Like, where do you feel like you kind of took some leaps and bounds personally and kind of reached that level and started, you know, guiding and started doing some of these things and actually, like, getting paid for it? I mean, tell me a little bit about how you learned to fish on a higher level, you know, maybe what some of your specialties are and where that comes from, like, just some of those personal stories.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of grew up ice fishing with my dad. That was kind of, my dad really never had a boat growing up. So the majority of my fishing with my dad was ice fishing. And he kind of was part of the deal back in the day, like just running and gunning. He had a group of buddies. And so I would just always be tagging along with him. I mean, whenever my dad would be out on the weekend and he wouldn't take me fishing, I'd be so mad. So I would always be up with him. And jumping in the pickup, whether I'm just in the backseat eating beef sticks or I'm fishing outside the pickup when we're bouncing around. So learned a lot of the perch fishing from my dad for sure, because I mean, the name of the game in Devil's Lake is running and gunning for perch, especially back in the day when perch numbers are high, when you're looking for that big school of perch. Coming off that, it was pretty cool. I mean, growing up right on the lake, I mean, it was a lot of fish in the main part of the lake. And I mean, we were so lucky that we had the perch fishing we did, and being able to just fish right from the house, it was pretty cool.
Was it just kind of like assumed at some point that you were going to be a guide and you were going to, you know, work for, you know, perch patrol?
I think everyone kind of knew. I mean, my parents knew. I mean, I tried to go to college for the first semester in Devil's Lake. And I kind of got, I told Zippy I kind of want to dip my toes in the water and start guiding. And he called me one day and just like, Alex, can you guide tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, I think I can skip class to go guide. And turn it on one day a week to 3-4 days a week to 5 days a week that first year. And I mean, pretty soon I wasn't really going to class, and that kind of ended my college career and started the guiding career. And it was, I never really looked back since then.
And how long you been guiding?
This will be my 11th winter.
Heck yeah, dude. Yeah, man. So, I mean, you know, getting back to, you know, talking about the perch fishing on Devil's Lake, and, you know, you kind of learned from your dad, you were kind of connected to guys that were on the cutting edge, learning how to run and gun and move around and find fish. Like, you know, looking back at, you know, 11 years of guiding, tell me a little bit about just that. Like, even like, just like as if I've never been to Devil's Lake before, and you kind of got to describe to me how I should, you know, go about fishing. And I even enjoy some of the stories from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, honestly, perch fishing really hasn't changed a ton. I mean, perch, the biggest thing like I see now is like live scope doesn't, I mean, it definitely spooks perch. I mean, I've seen it time and time again. But like going back today, you just using the Vexilar and be able to bounce around and be able to just hole, I mean, not necessarily hole hop, but just you're drilling a hole, sitting there for anywhere from 2 to 10 minutes, kind of depends on the year. I mean, depends on water clarity and everything else. But the biggest thing with Devil's Lake is like with the perch fishing, I mean, there's ups and downs, like there's cycles through everything. I mean, I've seen it, I mean, at the peak twice, and then you see it'll drop down to its low, and then it just seems to always kind of come back up. So it's pretty cool watching that cycle. You can almost see it happening like in the summer when you're catching, like in the summer where you're catching, when you're trolling cranks in the fall and you're catching 3 to 2 to 10 perch a day sometimes. And then you have years where you don't hardly catch any. You can kind of predict your winter, but I've also seen it before where they just surprise you and kind of come out of nowhere.
Talk to me a little bit how that affects your fishing. I find that to be kind of interesting, especially with people that have like a ton of experience on a particular body of water. When you go into like, say, an early ice period and you're sort of feeling out the lake, you've got a good grip. You've got tons of experience. You're connected. You're networking with some of the best anglers like on the lake. It's not, you know, just facts, right? Like you're taught, you're one of them. It's like, when you are sort of quickly at early ice, sort of getting a feel for maybe, you know, kind of the conditions of the lake, the conditions of the fish, you know, you talk about that, the cycles, like when they're at a high cycle or when they're at a low cycle. Talk to me about how that affects how you cover water and what your expectations are.
Yeah, so it seems like you almost always try the same areas. I mean, for perch, it seems like they're always kind of sitting in those same areas. I mean, it obviously fluctuates a little bit, but you can almost tell right away whether those perch are going to be really, really good for the year, or it's going to be a little tougher year. So, I mean, you going out trying those spots, but I mean, on a tougher perch year, we're usually going fishing walleyes in the morning and then going to a different part of the lake if we have to go fish perch for, let's say, the afternoon. But if we're I mean, perch, good perch years, I mean, a lot of times those things bite right away in the morning. But if you don't have a solid plan to that, and you're going to be kind of searching, you're definitely going to try to get some walleyes in the morning. And you're kind of banking on those to save the day sometimes, which, I mean, it's not saving the day. I mean, the walleye fishing in Devils is can be absolutely bonkers too. So that's one lucky thing we have. So
no, that makes a ton of sense. But even like, you know, like some of the things you were talking about, like when you're hole hopping and you spend 2 minutes in a hole versus 10 minutes in a hole, or how far of a move are you trying to make? Is it 100 yards or is it like 500 yards or like you know, talking about the decision making.
Well, it's an amazing thing. It's like Devil's Fish is kind of like five different bodies of water. I mean, from like Stump Lake to East Devils to East Bay, Main Bay in the flats, it all kind of fish is different. I mean, there's areas where you're sitting in a spot, like if I'm fishing, let's say East Bay, I'll sit in a spot for a half hour when I'm perch fishing because those fish just seem like they're more roamers out there. Where like the Main Bay, it seems like you might drill in a spot. You won't, if you don't say anything in the first 2 minutes, you're probably not going to see a whole lot. I mean, that obviously changes sometimes, but that's just what I've seen over the years. I mean, water clarity has a big thing to do with that. It seemed like last year we weren't seeing any big schools of perch. They're all roamers, but it was some of the cleanest water I've ever seen. And I think that has a lot to do with the runoff. I mean, the lake's down about 5 feet, and then we didn't have any runoff last spring or really last fall. So there was, it was just the cleanest water. It's crazy. You're seeing 25-foot water clarity pretty much everywhere across the lake.
Is there some major changes to your whole strategy, including like setup or gear choices? Like, how do you feel like that clear water affects the fish or affects like the fishing?
I've never really used, like, so I usually start the year and I always put a fluorocarbon leader on all my perch rods. I mean, I never really used it for walleyes unless I'm in shallow water just to give it a little stretch or whatever. But it's weird. Every year I start using a fluorocarbon leader, like with the tungsten. And by the end of the winter, it never seems to make a difference. I mean, it seems like the perch, when they're going to bite, they're going to bite. And when they're not going to bite, they're not. There's not like a perfect thing that like changing colors in Devils. I've never really noticed it for perch to make a huge difference. I mean, like there was 2 years ago, I ran 2 years ago till now. I literally had the same buckshot spoon on the, for 2 years straight. And I mean, I would change it up and end up going just back to that same one. And there was no paint left on it. It's just, when you get on that right school of fish, they're going to bite. And there's just days where those things just will not bite.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a phenomenal point to make is sometimes you got to leave fish to find the right fish.
And don't forget about those fish. Cause I mean,
they got to open up sometime, right?
Exactly. I mean, they might not bite one day, but remember that area and you can pop back in there and you can always, you never know. I mean, you could have your limit in 15 minutes. So one other crazy thing, I've seen this multiple times where you will have, let's say you're sitting in your flip over shack and you have your two holes drilled. I've seen it where 95% of the fish came out of that hole and you're sitting in 45 feet of water. And you can drill around that area, but it is that exact hole. I mean, you can miss that school by 3 feet and 45 feet of water. And it doesn't make any sense. I've never understood it, but it's absolutely unbelievable. You can miss a school by 2 feet. And it's absolutely wild. Like, it's like there's just an invisible barrier there that those perch will not cross over. And there's no structure they're sitting on. It's just mud basin, and that's just where they're at it for whatever reason.
I mean, it would have to be forage related, right? I mean, is there?
Yeah, you sure think so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's got to just be like some lump of mud down there that has a Christmas tree of bloodworms or something.
Yeah.
Like, it would just be crazy. Do you use a camera very much? Like has that ever been involved in your?
You know, that's my dad only uses the camera, and he just likes seeing the fish and seeing the reaction on it and just watch them. I just don't have enough room. Like when I'm guiding in the winter, just we're so strapped for room with coolers and then all our gear, and you can only have so much stuff with you. So that's one thing I just never really bring.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I mean, you're trying to be efficient when you got clients. It's like impossible,
exactly.
But that would be interesting.
Yeah. Like, I've went over those spots, like, in the summer, like, where it's just like, okay, hey, this spot, for whatever reason, year in and year out, like, there's fish there consistently. And went over them with side scan, live scope, whatever, and and there's nothing there. There's no change in the bottom. I'm not sure. It must just be where the budworms pop. I mean, it's about the only thing that explains it.
Yeah, man, I find that stuff to be interesting. And it also is just like the key component to all optimism is that you can drill however many holes you want to drill in a day. But the next one, even if it's only a 10-foot move, but the next one could just be a life changer on Devil's Lake. It's just there's just something about that, man.
Yeah, we had a couple years ago, had a group of 12. There was four of us guides out there, and we went out where we didn't have a fish at 12:30, and one of our guides popped in and drilled a hole. And he's like, "Oh, I think this is it." I popped a hole just a little ways away from him, and we're like, "Yep, this is it." So we went, got the guys, moved them there by one. By 1:30, we had a limit, had a 12-man limit of perch, a half hour, just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and when they're going, you know, like you talk about. Like, you know, you don't need to overthink your presentation. Just have a confidence bait on, because when you're on the right fish, they're going to eat. Describe that to me a little bit. You know, what some of your confidence baits are.
Like, I would say, like, the VMC rattle spoon or the buckshot. I mean, 16th ounce on that is the, I mean, that's the search bait. I mean, that's what I'm putting down every hole when I'm jigging. And I mean, the biggest thing is being off the bottom. I mean, I come into every, like, because you fish other lakes and you want to be on the bottom pounding mud and doing that, and that's calling that fish. But Devil's Lake just not really like that. It doesn't seem like being up off the bottom when I'm out there searching, or even on a school of fish, I'm digging 3 to 5 feet off the bottom. Just seems like they can see it farther. And then you can get that Christmas tree started. So you start with that. And if they're not actually, I mean, you might get a couple right away, but then they kind of fizzle out. Then I'll drop down just a small tungsten jig. I mean, just kind of whatever depth you're in so you can get up and down efficiently. And then that with just spikes. I mean, that's another thing. Like, I don't think bait really matters. Like, I basically only use white spikes. I mean, I'll use them for walleyes as well. So it's more just in your cadence. So the bait, like, another thing on top, it's when your cadence, you don't, like, the perch are not going to bite it when it's moving. Even in the, I mean, I've seen absolutely suicidal bites, but you can't be jigging it. If you're jigging it, you will not catch them. You have to be holding it still, and I mean, it can be the lightest bite in the world. I mean, you're looking for your rod to, I mean, if a feather lands on it, you're setting the hook. I mean, these fish and devils are just eating shrimp, so they're not like they're chasing minnows and having to come up and smack it. They're just coming in, just barely sucking it in.
Are you picky about anything? Like, are you particular about rod choice, line selection, you know, the like any of those things?
So I like a very moderate rod. Like, I mean, the tip has to be soft. I'm not a big spring bobber guy, just because, yeah, I mean, you're getting ice build up and then that loads up that tip. And I feel like that makes it a little harder to see the bite, but I like a super moderate rod. Like the tickle stick is a great, all around rod. Like I've used that for years for walleyes and perch. I mean, those are my go-to rods for clients. And then that way you have that tip to where you can see that the smallest bites on that. And then you're able to see it. So, and then any braid, 4 to 6 pound braid, just so you don't have that abrasion. Cause I mean, you're icing up. I mean, you're peeling off the ice on the line all the time just so you get a little more out of it, and then you have no line twist. So,
as we prepare for the upcoming ice fishing season, making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to summitfishingequipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. with a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products. That's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zuloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zuloft Construction at their website, zuloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. If you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, I highly recommend you check out the North Dakota Outdoors podcast that's put on by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, a phenomenal source of all kinds of topics happening at the Game and Fish Department throughout the seasons. Again, if you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, the North Dakota Outdoors podcast is for you. You'll find it anywhere you'll find the JMO podcast, and if you want a shortcut, you can find a link in the description. I don't know anybody that ties direct to Braid more than you Devil's Lake guys, man. Like Jason, like 4 pound Braid, Jason, you know, like he'll just kind of nod off and it'll have like a 1 inch tag kind of hanging off it. Just all, you know, kind of frayed because he just took him 2 seconds to chew it off, you know, with his canines. And then he'll just let that tag sit on there with a little tungsten jig. And he's,
I won't go quite that far. Oh, I'll at least make sure I got the tag off.
Yeah, dude. It's just so crude. But yeah, like that sensitivity. I mean, can you possibly get a more sensitive setup, you know, for detecting light bites, right? Like a 4 pound super line tied direct to tungsten.
Yep.
With a soft tip rod. Like,
yeah, like what I tell my guys a lot of times, like if they're struggling to see that bite, it's a lot of times I'll have them just set the rod on a bucket right in front of them and just watch the tip. I mean, I'll have them just tap the back of the rod just to give that little jig. And I mean, just to literally stare at that rod. And sometimes that's the only way that, I mean, just to get it figured out, right? To see what that bite feels like or looks like, I should say, because you're not feeling that bite at all. I mean, it's all a visual deal.
Yeah. But on Devil's Lake, if you get it right, it's the difference between like, you know, 1 to 5 bites a day versus like, you know, a limit in 25 minutes. If you can just get that little thing, that little bite detection down in that, with that cadence in combination of holding it still. And it's the same fish and it's also could be really frustrating. I'll say this much. I don't know how many times I've said this, on a podcast, but talking to, you know, somebody like you that fishes Devil's Lake professionally, like the first handful of times I was introduced to Devil's Lake, I thought it was terrible. I had a horrible relationship with Devil's Lake, and
an old humble guy.
yeah, and I wasn't a great angler at the time, but all I had heard about was that, you know, Devil's Lake is a great destination, and my expectations were way out of whack. And you know, this is obviously years ago, before I even met like Jason kind of opened me up to the lake and some of these things. And I've gotten better over time asking questions to guys like you and you know, Zippy and the gang. Right. But like, it took me multiple years to kind of learn what you're describing right now. But if somebody just has that right mindset and you just really, really, really work on that, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's hard. If somebody's coming for 3 days to fish Devils, I mean, it's like, where do you start? You throw a dart at the map. And I mean, it's so hard to like just find that bite in general. I mean, we struggle finding it. I mean, even on the best year, sometimes we have 8 guys going and drilling anywhere from 30 to 80 holes personally a day. I mean, just kind of depending on the day. And sometimes it takes us 5, 6, 7, 8 days to find a good school perch when you're not like a fresh school.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of holes and involved in that. And I mean, the guys that come up and do it and find that bite and do it, I give them props. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
You know, without talking about spots or whatever, like, you know, getting down to like the waypoints, I do want to talk about like kind of where the habitat in which you find, like, what is the spectrum of spots or types of spots that you would look at, you know, just objectively speaking here?
So, like, what I would do if you, say, you have six guys and, I mean, you got a nice weekend and you're willing to actually get after it and drill a bunch of holes, I mean, spread out 100 yards and get a couple guys up in 25 feet of water, spread out to 45 feet of water and just work a shoreline. I mean, hit every flat, and then just the guides that are out in the mud, out off the break. I mean, you're just drilling at random, and that's what we do pretty much all winter. I mean, starting mid-January. I mean, up until mid-January, fishing usually under 35 feet of water. Kind of, it depends. We're fishing inside the contours on flats and bowls and whatever there is. Just any sort of irregularity in the contours perch can hold. So back in the day, we fished in the contours a lot more. I'd say 6-7 years ago that we did that all the time. And the last 4 years, 5 years, it's been almost all in the mud. But that, I mean, it's one of those things I think even we kind of forget about. What I mean, you're fishing the past, but you're not fishing. Sometimes you forget about the 5-6 years ago, what you did before, and you kind of forget about those spots. But if you're going to work the shoreline, you pretty much just have to, you just go, just drill holes, go every 100 yards and work the whole shoreline. And I mean, you should come up with something, but it's one of those things. It might take 2-4 days to actually get upon that big school that you're looking for.
When you get onto something, like when you do get on a school, you know, and you get a couple days and you're, you know, and you just having a spectacular time on, you know, a spot, a singular like group of fish. Is that a pattern that you take to other places in the lake and it kind of becomes, you know, a pattern, you know, throughout that whole region or something like that? Or is each school of fish tend to be doing its own thing at that time? And when you wear them out, you're kind of back to square one. You're back to checking the mud. You're back to checking the contours. Like, I'm just sort of curious how you feel. How patternable Devil's Lake is.
Right. I mean, I've seen it both ways, obviously, but the biggest pattern that you see is you're fishing shallower earlier in the year, and then the later you get in the year, you're out in the mud. And, you know, it kind of gets harder and harder through the year, but when you do find it, let's say you find a school in, let's say, end of February, early March, it's going to usually be the big one, right? I mean, they're usually setting up in those outside those shallow bays or they'll set up on that last contour just to be able to, they're setting up to go spawn. So that's the biggest thing. Like, I'll definitely take, let's say we find a school in East Bay and say it's in a cup along a point. It's like, hey, we're going to get that kind of fizzles out. We're going to go to East Devil's Lake. That's where we're going to go first. It doesn't always work. Usually the next spot we find is just along a steep break just in the middle of nowhere. So it's more or less depth, I would say, that is more of the pattern than anything. Whether, more or less contour rather than depth, because the last contour in East Bay is roughly 35 to 37 feet of water, where in East Devils it's 47 to 50 feet of water. So I mean, it just kind of just focusing on the contour of the fish, like the bottom, what the bottom actually is, what it's mud or if it's rock, gravel. I mean, that's more the pattern that I would focus on.
Let's give the walleyes a little bit of love here, because like you said, they can kind of save the day for you. That's true as a fishing guide. That's true as anybody that's just out recreational fishing. You can, you know, hope and dream for, you know, the greatest perch school of your life. But man, if you really, after a couple of days of getting your butt kicked on perch, like, you know, it'd be kind of nice to know a little bit of something about where you could look for some walleyes. Cause, you know, on Devils, yeah, they can save the day for you. Or for me, I honestly, like, man, there's like big chunks of the ice season, like working for Jason, going up to Devils, you know, over the years, like most of the time I go out, I'm if I'm by myself, I'm actually kind of looking for walleyes, honestly. Like,
oh,
I probably spend most of my time on Devil's Lake looking for walleyes. It's just kind of a personal preference.
It's so hard to beat a good walleye bite on Devil's. I mean, when they're going, I mean, it is. The biggest thing is, like, you can't fish too shallow for them. I mean, you can catch them in 2 feet of water. When you get on a good super shallow bite on walleyes, I mean, you don't even mark them. I mean, it can be as fast as you get up and down and catch, 20 fish an hour. I mean, super nice walleyes that you're not even marking. But at the same time, kind of like the perch, that you can catch them in 45 feet of water. You have really good bites out there. But with the size on walleyes in the winter, it seems like you have that good early bite where you're having that good size walleyes, but you get into that mid-January, like you get out deeper and you're catching a lot of those 10 to 13 inches. And I mean, so we don't try to fish out deep just because you're killing all those fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's we focus mainly, I mean, any old shoreline, any structure of the old shoreline can be good. And that's that 18 to 22 feet of water is kind of that midwinter fishing, like walleye spots. So just any rock, any trees can be very well. So like when I'm fishing shallow, the biggest thing is like, it's kind of opposite of perch. Like if you're fishing under 10 feet of water, I never stop jigging. Like you're sitting there jigging the whole time. I don't hardly ever pound the mud either with walleyes. I'm 2 feet off bottom and I'm jigging aggressive. I mean, the whole time, I mean, you're doing a 6-inch jig and just constant. I mean, when that fish comes in, like if you do mark that fish and it's kind of being a little sore, I'll throw like just a quick pause and then right back to jig, 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 pause, and then just throw that at them. And if they don't bite, they're probably not going to bite anything on those shallow ones. But I mean, again, just any type of rattle spoon. I'm not a big fan of like rattle baits. They do work from time to time, but I mean, I've had a lot more fish that come up and will reject that over, let's say just a rattle spoon. So, that's the main thing. Just tip with the minnow head and just go at it from there.
Things are happening, man. What are the conditions like up there? I mean, is anybody, I guess I haven't talked to Jason for a few days, but, you know, is anybody checking any ice up there? What's happening?
Yeah, I haven't been on the ice yet. I've been just kind of slowly tinkering around, getting myself ready. But I know there's guys, I've heard guys driving four-wheelers up in Urban Alice up there. The flats have been froze over. They got to have 3 to 5 inches right now. The main bay just froze over last night, or two nights ago, as well as East Bay. I haven't been out to East Devils, but that's always kind of the last to go, it seems like. It seems like the geese keep those spots open a little bit more, so. But yeah, I mean, we're cold weather. As long as this wind today doesn't blow open those open spots, but I would assume we're pretty well set for the year. So,
when does the guide season like officially kick off? Do you have like some kind of a date set?
15th of December, we fire up.
Well, that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Heck yeah!
It's go time, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Well, I appreciate it. What are some of the other things? Is there anything, you know, we're just kind of talking Devil's Lake ice fishing. I mean, even for you personally, you know, it's kind of, we're talking right now, but I'm excited to have you on like next year with open water season to talk about that because, knowing a little bit about you, kind of following along, you know, the last couple of years, especially last year, your walleye tournament season, dude, you definitely had some things going on. I just kind of wanted to show you a little bit of love on that. And, you know, if you could maybe what were some of the notable takeaways or some of the notable things from this last open water season?
Yeah, it was a good year. It was kind of underwhelming, but it's still a very good year, it seemed like. Start of the year in Lake Erie fishing the NWC. Me and my partner Tommy, we ended up in second place out there. Max got us by just a little bit there. So, but that was super fun getting out there again. I fished Erie for years. I used to guide out in Michigan, so for salmon and steelhead. So I did that in the rivers out there. And so during the summer and springs, another buddy would go out there 5-6 times a year. So it's kind of cool getting back out there and messing around Lake Erie. But yeah, then fished the casino circuits this year, and that has some underwhelming tournaments. I mean, some very, very close calls where it's like you had the right fish and you just couldn't, we couldn't finish out our limit. We had two tournaments where we weighed four fish and we could add six for that. And I mean, we still ended up the year in third place for team of the year, which is pretty cool. But yeah, that was a, it was a fun tournament season for sure.
Yeah, dude, that casino circuit, that's definitely getting some notoriety. I mean, there's definitely that, there's a lot of sticks fishing that.
Yeah, it's a tough field for sure. I mean, there's some really good guys out there. I mean, and the thing is, they're all guys that are local and then know their stuff. I mean, Oahe has been one that just, I've had some, like the first year we went down there 3 years ago, I mean, we flat out got lucky. And again, we weighed four fish, but we had a 31 incher and a 29 incher, just pure luck. But after that, it's got my number. I mean, I can go out there and catch one nice fish a day, and then it's just, you just can't. I mean, then you have your under spot, you go there, then they're gone, then it's just full on scramble. But being able to go to Skokie is just so much fun. I mean, that lake is probably one of my favorites, other than Devils and. I mean, other than Devil's Lake, Skokie, just because you can be getting your butt kicked all day there. I mean, seeing fish, not getting a bite. Then you pull into a spot, you can have 35, 40 pounds in 15 minutes. I mean, when you roll into a point there, a little cup in the back bay, and they're just loaded up in there and biting, it's so much fun.
I mean, you're kind of a man of many parts, Alex. Like you get around, you've sampled and done a lot of interesting things, you know, talking about fishing. How does that like describe that in yourself? Is that just like personality traits? Like just the fact that you just, you kind of want to always be trying new things, or is there something on the front of your mind as far as like learning and picking up new things and, you know, things that you can bring back, say, to your home body of water, or, you know, what is it about the tournament fishing? I'm just sort of curious, you know, learning more about you and your personality, but.
Well, yeah. So like I went out to Michigan. The reason I went out there, I mean, every kid that loves fishing wants to go to Alaska, right? So I went up there and I wanted to learn. I same buddy I fished with out in Erie. He was actually a client of mine back in the day and turned into a very good buddy. But he invited me to go steelhead fishing with him out there in the spring. And me and actually my tournament partner for the casinos, Jordan Omley, we went out there and I was just like, this is sweet. I mean, catching steelhead out of a small river, it's just super pretty. I'm like, I got to try this. So I think it was 2 years later, I went out there and did it. And didn't guide for the first year, just basically fished every day, worked out of a boat shop there. That was, and then basically fished every night. So did that and then guided. And it was an absolute blast going out there. But I mean, the whole time I was out there, just I went to do my captain's license to get that all figured out, did the class, did all that. And, I went to do my physical and couldn't get, I knew I was colorblind. I didn't know you couldn't be colorblind, that there'd be a restriction there for your captain's license.
What the heck?
So, and ended up, finding out that I wouldn't be able to operate a boat, from an hour after sunrise to, and then I'd be done off the water, but an hour before sunset. So I basically just kind of threw in the towel. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going back to Devils. I basically packed my stuff up and went home. I'm like, you know what? This isn't going to work out. So I'm going back to walleyes. And you know what? I'm glad I did. I missed it. I missed fishing walleyes and tournaments and all that. So
you filmed a heck of an episode with Jason here this summer. You guys were fishing, was that like dead of summer on Devil's Lake? It just looked like it was like 1,000 degrees outside and flat calm. Just kind of make mention of that. People can go on YouTube, Jason Mitchell Outdoors YouTube channel, and watch from this past summer.
That was a pretty cool show. There were a lot of big fish caught in that one. That was a fun day.
Yeah, dude, that was spectacular. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't filming you for that one. So when that one came out, I was just like everybody else. I was watching it for the first time. But, dude, that was like super impressive, and I'm sad that I missed it. But but anyways, maybe next time. But anyways, dude, yeah, hey, I appreciate the time. I just love kind of just having the conversation, talking about Devil's Lake, talking about you. And yeah, I look forward to having you on again if you're down for it, definitely before next tournament season, because I kind of want a deep dive. I actually have like a few specific questions from this last year. You kind of undersold some of your good finishes there from this past season, and I definitely have a few things that I want to hit. But for the time of year, I'm glad we were able to spend most of our time talking ice fishing and kind of getting brushed up on some of these Devil's Lake topics. And I definitely have a few notes that will be on the front of my mind when I start getting out doing some of my own fishing, even if I'm not on Devil's Lake, man. Some of that stuff can be so key as far as knowing kind of how to break it down and how to, you know, trigger a bite and the type of spots that a guy needs to be checking. That stuff is so true for so many different species on different bodies of water that, you know, it's easy to get stuck in a rut, and that's kind of what Absolutely. I try to focus on. Don't get stuck in a rut. So good to have these conversations before the season gets kicked off, so it doesn't take me, you know, three valuable trips out on the ice to realize that I'm in a rut, and then it takes me three trips, you know, 3 days off that I don't have just to kind of get my start a good season, get a good season going. But anyways, cool, man. Promote yourself. Anything that you want to throw out there, you know, contact your socials or like Perch Patrol or you know, if people wanted to latch on and book you as a guide on Devil's Lake, obviously I would recommend that. But anything that you want to throw out there, go ahead.
Yeah, if anyone wants to come fish Devil's Lake this winter, you can just go to perchpatrol.com and you can book your trip through there. You can zip his number, you can look at all the packages. We have packages through Woodland Resort, and then we have some through Sleep Inn. So if we can usually get you in for a few days. So you're looking at test the waters on the Perch and Devils this year, look us up.
That's it. Alex Reslock, Devil's Lake, North Dakota.